Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our hosts sometimes send charts they're talking about directly to the Radio Plus app? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Ellen Blinder of Princeton University, we welcome the former vice chairman of our Federal Reserve. Professor Blinder, good morning.
Nice to be with you, Tom.
You have a wonderful textbook, Bomb on Blinder. And if I look at an idea in part four, the virtues and limitations of markets, what is the virtues and limitations of our Federal Reserve right now? This was a breathtakingly sad unemployment report. How should Chairman Bernanke and Vice Chairman Yellen, how should they respond?
Well, I think Chairman Bernanke almost gave you the answer in his Jackson Hole speech. The Fed believes it has two serviceable weapons in its holster, so to speak. One is what they call forward guidance, whose current manifestation is the rates are going to stay super low through late 2014, and you could make that longer. And the other is asset purchases, QE. If they do another round, the media will call it QE3, and I imagine it would be concentrated on mortgage-backed securities.
If you then go to one of your graduate textbooks, something fancier, Blinder, you've got the real economy and the financial economy. Economists call that IS and LM. Okay, fine. Those are moving parts right now. What confidence do we have, or what confidence does President Obama or Governor Romney have that our economic authorities can lead us back to a better job economy?
Well, you know, on the Romney camp, I think on the fiscal side, it's mostly delusion. And they're living the story, or they're telling the story, that shrinking the government, less government spending, is the route to salvation. Now, Europe's trying that, as you know, with pretty bad results. We tried it back in the Hoover days with pretty bad results, and we've tried it other times as well. That's not to say that the deficit doesn't matter, but it's a question of priorities. When you have interest rates as low as they are and the economy as weak as it is, it's clear that not only can we afford to spend more in the short term, making up for it in the long term, but that we should. At least it's clear to me.
Well, and we should mention that Professor Blinder was in strong support of John Kerry's effort of a number of years ago. Alan Blinder, if I can find the common ground that you would have with Romney supporter Glenn Hubbard, here is a miserable job report. We can all see that. What would be an action list for those in Washington not associated with a Federal Reserve? If we have FDRs, we need to do something. Ken, as you mentioned earlier, what is the to-do?
Well, I think what needs to be done, and I've thought this for a long time now, is to combine. I'd love to see it in one piece of legislation, though probably the Congress would never do it that way, but combine a near-term stimulus really focused on jobs, a real job creator, including public service jobs, combined with a large-scale deficit reduction program. So in round numbers, but there's nothing sacred about these numbers, you could think of spending $400 or $500 billion up front, deficit spending, but coupling it with 10 times as much deficit reduction over a decade. That would put you into the Simpson-Bowles range of deficit reduction.
Let me ask you about the Fed buying mortgage-backed securities. With home prices down, what, 20% from the peak? Latest in the Mortgage Bankers Association is a 30-year fixed is back below 3.8%. If people aren't buying houses now, how will buying more mortgage-backed securities make them buy houses in the weeks to come?
No, it's a fair question, and I don't think this is a super powerful weapon as it once was. The idea, of course, is to shrink the spreads between Treasuries and MBS, and that will have some effect on mortgages. The problem is that you're alluding to, and you're quite correct, is there are a lot of impediments to refinancing, wholly apart from the price. The biggest one being how many mortgage holders are underwater. You may recall that some months back, the Fed issued a quite unusual white paper listing things it couldn't do, but it thought somebody ought to do to loosen up the mortgage market. I think that was a reflection of the Fed's understanding that there are real limits to what you can do by interest rates.
I want to go back to the 1930s off this report. Folks, again, yields plunge. There's no other way to put it. Lower yields on the presumption of some form of action by the Fed. The unemployment rate went down today, but everything else in the report, a big disappointment. Alan Blinder, let's go back to Clement Attlee, Daniel Yergin's commanding heights. Do we risk wage deflation or flatline wages for an extended length of time?
Well, more the flatline wages. Yeah, and I don't see any prospect of wage deflation unless things get much, much worse, and I don't think they will. But, you know, real wages are going nowhere. Something between nowhere and down, depending on what kind of real wage, you know, what occupation you're in. And with a weak labor market, and we've had now a very weak labor market for 4 years, there's not a lot of prospect for a turnaround in that.
Well, I know you threw a cubic function at Michael Woodford once down at Princeton. He's the land of quadratic equations. He made a splash at Jackson Hole. Should we target nominal GDP? Do we need a Charles Evans economy where we just turn on a spigot to jumpstart things?
I'm not completely convinced that nominal GDP targeting is the technical way to do it, but I'm definitely in favor of opening the spigot more. So's Ben Bernanke. I mean, it was very, very clear. The Fed is not going to agree to a Charles Evans-type formulation. But the less important than that is the notion of get in there and do what you can. That's certainly what Evans. I think Evans, I shouldn't speak for Evans. Let's just say, at this point, I'm willing to support almost anything that would give the economy a little more oomph.
Alan Blinder, privileged to have you on today. He is the former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve at Princeton University, and again, in previous support of Democratic politics, as we talked a little bit of election there.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.